This past week, our service was recorded on Zoom once again, but we did have some technical issues. So what you are listening to now is a re-recording of the teaching that we shared this past Sunday on May 3rd. We've been talking about the end times not because I think we are in them, but rather because the story of Jesus doesn't end with his resurrection and ascension. In Acts 1:11, angels promise that Jesus will return in the same way that he left. And so we had spent the last 2 weeks briefly looking at the theories surrounding the end times, what it means when our statement of faith says that we are premillennial and hoping for a pre-tribulation rapture. You've heard me say that there are many theories about the end times, but there is very little absolute certainty about these things. So, what we've tried to do is just have a basic understanding of what we say we believe, but we've also tried to spend a little more time trying to focus on what we know for sure and how that should influence us. And that's what we're going to try and do again, as we look briefly at the scripture again today. Matthew 24:14 says this: "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." I asked our group this question: are you happy with the situation you're in? Do you like the situation you're in? And kind of the common consensus among us was that even though there are some things that are nice, enjoying being home with our kids a little more, getting to cook and be together a little bit more, even though there are some things that are good, the general consensus is we don't love the circumstances that have caused these things. We're not big fans of the new ways we're having to work from home and all the change that's happened. And frankly, the virus going around and the way it's affecting lives in big and small ways. I followed that question up by asking, what about a year from now, or 5 years from now, or 10 years from now? Will everything be hunky-dory then? Will everything be just the way you want it to be? And the clear response and answer was no, probably not. The simple fact is, there is always going to be a threat to your life and well-being, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual. When the coronavirus is gone, there's just going to be another strain of flu. There are still going to be drunk drivers who cause accidents. There are still going to be selfish people who cause heartache. There are still going to be temptations that we ought to avoid. I know everyone is looking forward to this pandemic ending, but call me a Debbie Downer. Life on this earth is going to continue to have highs and lows. It will never be perfect. Perfect life does not come until the end comes and believers are given their everlasting reward. The end doesn't come until the gospel is preached to the world, until it is communicated to every people group, until it is made plain in every language. If we're looking forward to a perfect life where everything goes well, then that means we're looking forward to the end coming. And if we're looking forward to the end coming, that means the gospel must be preached to the world. I find that fascinating. It appears that the church, the capital C church, the worldwide body of believers, influences the return of Jesus. Jesus will return when the church has completed her mission. I want to play a part in completing that mission, to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, to be a witness where I am, in the surrounding areas, and all around the world. Right now, my personal witness is primarily focused in local areas, right around here. So, how do I witness to the ends of the world? Maybe I don't personally, but I can support those who do. We listened to a brief video from the Alliance website. You can check it out yourself at cmalliance.org. But from one of our international workers in Cambodia sharing about how they are caring in chaos in the midst of all that is going on. After watching that video, I was excited to share that this past week, our church sent over $500 towards the Great Commission Fund, which supports our international workers around the world, 80% of whom serve where there is little to no gospel access. So, thank you for your support of these efforts. Through your giving, you are supporting representatives of Jesus around the world who are making the gospel known, and because of that, also speeding the return of Jesus. I also shared that I want to be, both personally and in our church, more intentional about praying for our international workers, which is why at each weekly prayer meeting, I will be bringing international requests. And also, when we either start gathering together or maybe we'll be able to put this online on our Facebook page or website, but we'll also provide monthly handouts of ways to pray, because not everyone is always able to make it to our weekly prayer meeting. I want to see Jesus come back. As much as there are things that I enjoy in this world, frankly, I wouldn't mind getting out of here and moving on to something better. And so that's part of the reason that I want to play a part in supporting the preaching of the gospel in the whole world. And I hope you will join me in that. The second thing we are certain about when it comes to the end times, first, we know that the gospel must be preached to the whole world, and then the end will come. The second thing we can be certain about is that even though we know some of what will precede the return of Jesus, the preaching of the gospel, last week we talked about the world's kind of continued descent into chaos. Even though we know some of the things that will lead up to the return of Jesus, we still don't know exactly when Jesus is returning. It could be today. It could be another 2,000 years. We simply don't know. And because of this, we've repeatedly said, be ready, be prepared. Don't wait to get yourself right with God. Last week, I had also encouraged you to be an agent of good, an agent of light, an agent of Jesus. The situation of the world right now just sucks. There's no getting around that. But believers in Jesus, followers of Jesus, we have hope through Jesus, and we can share that hope with others. We have been given an opportunity to be the church away from our building, to be the hands and mouth of Jesus in our neighborhoods. I want to encourage us not to miss this opportunity. I wrote a blog post earlier in the week on our website in which I reflected a little bit on the last month or so. And In that, I had written that I think I was dealing with all of this better earlier on than I am now. I had to listen to my own preaching last week when I said that we can't let our faith ebb and flow based on the circumstances around us, but rather base our faith in who God is. That's why this week I'm going to be spending my whole morning one day one-on-one with God with no distractions, because I need the time to just talk to Him, listen to Him, be renewed by Him. I hope if you are listening to this and you have kind of found yourself spiritually run down as well, I hope you'll also make time to do something similar. I also felt like I was doing better at reaching out to people in the early stages as well, better than I am now. And so this week, my goal is to intentionally reach out to my unsaved neighbors to see how they're doing, to check in on them. I want to invite you to do this with me. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Would you write down the names of 3 to 5 people, whether they be neighbors, coworkers, family members, doesn't matter. The only stipulation is that they be unsaved people. And this week, my goal, and what I'm going to encourage you to do, is to reach out to each of these people once. Now, if you're like me, your brain might be getting a little fried, lacking creativity. So what we did as a group was we opened up a time for us to just share some ideas for reaching out to people during this time, showing them that we care, whether they were things that people have already done or ideas that they've wanted to try. The question was, how have you been showing people you care about them? And I want to just quickly share some of those responses that we heard. As you hear me repeat these ideas, obviously you're not going to get to hear the stories behind them that were shared, but let me just give a brief idea of some of the ideas that were presented. Simply letting people know that they're being thought of, giving a small gift bag. Someone mentioned keeping up with each other through Facebook or chat groups and being able to connect in that way, writing cards, and also providing some food or snack or cookies. I've met very few people who don't like food, so that's a good way to go too. But if I were to sum it all up in one phrase that one of our folks shared, it's that people enjoy being remembered. And so doing any of those things is a way to show that to your neighbor, to your coworker, to your family member, whoever it might be, that I'm remembering you, I'm thinking of you. As you hear those ideas, I'm not suggesting that you have to do exactly one of those. Rather, the point is, hopefully they'll spur some ideas on your part, that as you reach out to others, it's not so important what you do specifically as much as it is just be authentic in what you do. This isn't about you reaching out to people so that then you can take your Bible and smack them across the face with the gospel. Rather, it's about being who you are, being genuine, being authentic in your care for them. That's why a week or two ago, Abby and I delivered gift bags to some folks that contained a roll of toilet paper and some candy and a note with a bunch of toilet paper puns, because we're dorks with lame senses of humor. You know, we took the ding-dong ditching with gift bags idea from someone else, but then we made it our own with those lame jokes. That's the kind of thing I'm hoping to prompt today. My hope is that you'll hear something and you'll think, oh, that's a fun idea. And then you'll take it and run with it and make it your own, putting your own spin on it for the benefit of your unsaved friends or family. I've said before that this is not the time for the church to disappear. This is a time for us to step up. So my encouragement to you is to take your list of people, and before you contact them, would you pray for them and pray for your interaction with them? One thing we didn't indicate as we gave those gift bags to others was that as we were driving to their houses, we were praying for each person that we were going to be delivering to. If you want, you can even tell these people that you've prayed for them and that you're wondering if there's any way you can specifically pray for them or help them. And if you do that, you're inviting them to open up and go deeper. But if they just say, no, I'm fine, you can also respect that and still show that you care. Our mission hasn't changed just because the world has changed for the time being. We are still to be witnesses. I know that many people, many of you may be listening in a lot of ways, are even busier now than you were before this virus began. So as you hear what I'm encouraging you to try and do, I'm not trying to pile on top of your workload or make you feel like, oh, great, another thing to do, or guilt you into feeling like this is something you ought to do. That's not my desire here. I certainly hope that you will follow through on these suggestions and pray for these people and reach out to them in your own unique way, but I don't want you to do it out of obligation. I hope that if you do this, and as I do this, and as we talk to God about these people that matter to us, He will increase our heart and compassion and love for them, and that as we reach out to them, God will grant us interactions that are encouraging to our souls and theirs in this time. You know, if you choose to do this, my hope is that the extra hour or two you put into doing it, afterwards you'll look back and say, that was time well spent. I'm glad I did that. I want to wrap up with this final encouragement. Matthew 25, starting at verse 34, says this, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' The king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.'" As you reach out to unsaved friends, family, coworkers, whoever it may be this week, sure, it's a nice thing to do for others. Sure, it might help you feel a little bit better too. But ultimately, as we do these things, as we reach out and check in on people, we're doing it for Jesus. I hope you will consider putting in a little extra time this week to reach out to those who may be having a hard time. And may your interactions with them be blessed in the name of Jesus. Thanks for joining us this week.